Hey there, my lovelies. Welcome back to another episode of Final Girls Horrorcast, the show where we discuss some of the horror, thriller, and sci-fi movies currently available on your favorite streaming sites. I'm Amy.
And I'm Carly.
Welcome to part one of Listener Request Month. You're supposed to cheer, Carly.
Woo!
That was anticlimactic.
Just edit it.
I'll edit it. I'll make it sound great. This week we're jumping off with Silver Bullet, as recommended by listener Ryan S. This movie is currently streaming on Amazon Prime and Hulu. We're also discussing Warlock, as recommended by listener Tommy B. And this is streaming on Stars. And if you don't have a Stars subscription, you have to buy it, which is what we did. But we did it for Tommy B, because Tommy B is rad. And we like Tommy B.
We do.
He's been wanting us to watch this for a while. We owe him. Hey, any new listeners, if you haven't seen these films yet, please proceed with caution, as we are a spoiler-heavy podcast. Although these movies are from the 80s, so figure it out.
You've had some time.
Yeah. I mean, and they're not really spoiler movies. Like, it's the kind of movie where you can tell someone the end and then it doesn't matter, you know?
You'll still have a good time watching it.
Agreed. But before we jump into these 80s supernatural horror films, let's get started with a segment we like to call
Trailer Trash Talk.
Our trailer today is It Comes at Night, theatrical release due for June 9th, written and directed by Trey Edward Schultz. And yeah, this trailer just came out. I saw this trailer when I saw Get Out last weekend.
Oh, cool. I wish I would have seen this trailer when I saw that movie.
They didn't show this one?
No.
Trey Edward Schultz only did one other full-length feature, and it was called Krisha. I've never heard of it or seen of it. That English is the language that I kind of speak. So the IMDb plot is... I'm gonna read the plot because the
please do, because I have no idea what this is about, even sort of.
The trailer gives us nothing. Secure within a desolate home, an unnatural threat terrorizes the world. A man has established a tenuous domestic order with his wife and son, but this will soon be put to test when a desperate young family arrives seeking refuge.
Okay, seriously, nothing about the trailer says anything of that.
I kind of got a little bit of, like, something's terrorizing the world because there's people walking around in the woods with gas masks. It's definitely something supernatural happening, right? Because it does say unnatural threat, so I think I'm on...
Sure.
I'm on board there, or I'm on base there.
I thought it was, like, a disease or something, because they're like, I didn't want to open the door, like, close the door, don't let anybody in.
Yeah, maybe.
But then they're also like...
There is a gas mask, so maybe it's a little column A, little column B.
Yeah, oh, that's true. They're, we're both right. Probably. Yeah,
we're probably both right, because we usually are. This is an A24 production, which usually gives us great things. Gave us The Witch, gave us Green Room.
True. Both of my top one and two from last year.
But it also gave us The Monster, which is your third favorite.
Pretty low on my list of last year movies. But hey, people liked it, so.
But, you know.
Tomato, tomato, right?
The thing is, like, A24 films are still awesome. Like, for the most part. They're doing what a lot of other horror movies aren't doing, which is they're trying to have, like, I feel like they're almost like a bridge between traditional horror and, like, new indie movies. You know, they... Excuse me, my book fell.
Collapse.
Where they...
My book fell.
Sorry. Between... You know what I mean, though? Like, between these, like, you know, old-timey... Not old-timey, but, you know, like, our 80s and 90s horror movies are now becoming more beautiful and more artistic. And that's thanks to production films, I think, or production companies, I think, like 824, which are kind of boosting our cinematography and our, you know, they're beautiful movies. So
absolutely. And they definitely both, they all of these movies that, you know, you had mentioned are all very unique, and they're all trying to do something different in the genre, which is awesome and appreciated always.
I think so too. I mean, even if we get stinkers like the monster sometimes, which a lot of people like that movie. Not everyone thinks it's a stinker like us. So as long as someone likes it, I think it's fine. That it's still doing something that a lot of horror movies aren't. And I think it's starting to steer us away from these, you know, standard type horror movies and moving us towards something better. And so thank you, A24. I look forward to this movie. I have no idea what it's about, but their trailers are typically pretty cryptic. They're not spoiler heavy. They don't really give you much in terms of storyline.
That's true. I don't even think I remember watching the trailer for Green Room, to be honest. And The Witch was obviously just a teaser. So
yeah,
I guess that makes sense.
Well, I'm all in. It comes at night. It's not a real trailer. I think it's like a
teaser
trailer. Yeah. So, but still exciting, fun. I know I was excited when I went to see Get Out for various reasons, but also because all the trailers, like, it's fun when I go to movies now and I'm like, oh, I did that trailer. And I'm going to Tony. I'm like, I did that trailer for Trailer Trash Talk. I did that. Ooh, what's this one? I haven't seen this one yet.
I did the same thing. Steve was like, we saw the trailer for Get Out. And I was like, no, we didn't. I saw this trailer like months ago when Amy and I did it for Final Girls. Like, we didn't see, like, I don't think I saw this trailer in theaters for Get Out. Are we going to talk about Get Out, by the way?
Yes. I think we should. Maybe we'll just do it after the music at the end.
Cool, because I want to spoil a little.
All right, let's do a traditional Final Girls thing where we talk about Get Out without spoilers at the end, and then after the music at the very end, we'll do spoilers.
High five. I agree.
High five. Okay. Hear that, audience?
We just decided.
That's what we
the magic is happening right in front of your ears.
Totally planned. We did it on purpose, not because we're unorganized and didn't discuss it first.
Totally.
Okay, let's jump into Warlock. Warlock.
Do you know what my note is on this movie? Oh, what? You do your thing first.
Yeah, can I do my thing first, Carly,
yeah.
Please?
Yeah.
Yeah, yes. Thanks. Warlock from 1989, directed by Steve Miner, who also directed our Final Girls faves, Friday the 13th Part 2 and 3. He also directed Lake Placid, which is Carly's favorite of all time, for some reason. Also, Halloween H2O and House. So a lot of, like, culty,
legit movies,
horror, fun films. Yeet. Also did this movie, which actually came after most of those, after Friday the 13th and after House. Mm-hmm. So kind of right smack in the middle of the movies I listed. It's written by David Tohy? T-W-O-H-Y. No one expect me to say that right.
Tui. That's my guess.
It sounds like I'm saying Chewy, but with a speech impediment.
Tui. No, it's like Tui. It's like the plant from Little Shop of Horrors.
Got you. Okay.
Following Audrey you. Too.
All right. I got you. Okay. And David Tui also wrote Critters 2, The Fugitive, the Pitch Black series. I wasn't going to list all the movies. I don't know if it was all of them, but most of them. And Waterworld, everyone's favorite. Waterworld.
Everyone's.
And stars Julian Sands, Laurie Singer, and Richard E. Grant. This movie is phenomenal.
I loved this movie so much.
I think we should have Tommy B pick all of our movies from now on. I'm sure he would like that.
You're hired.
Whether you want to be or not.
Yeah.
I love this movie. I don't know. I've never heard of this movie in my whole entire life until Tommy B was mentioning it. Have you ever heard of it before now?
I've heard of it because I really like the fantasy realm, but it's never just been available to me to watch. And I didn't like go seeking it out ever.
Right.
But it was like more than I ever could have hoped for.
It's intense madness. Half of it doesn't make any sense. In the best way possible, and I don't care.
It's so great. I love Julian Sands' flying skills.
Oh my god. So good. The special effects in this movie, flawless.
On point. They are on point.
I couldn't get over it. I can't get over it. It's so good. Okay, let's jump into it a little bit. First of all, Let's see. My first note is that at the very beginning of the movie, we are whisked away to 1691, Massachusetts. And apparently, here's how they kill witches. They are hanged and then burned over a basket of living cats.
It's magic.
That's like one of the first lines of the movie, is that we're going to hang him and burn him over a basket of living cats. Now, this might be a real thing that happened back in the day. However, I don't
duh,
think so.
Amy. Duh. Well,
is that
the
a real
living
thing, really?
A basket is so important.
Well, they have to be living cats. You have to burn the cats alive. These poor cats. As a cat owner and a fan of cats in general, I'm not a fan of this. Just want to go on the record.
I am also not a fan of the burning of cats alive.
Yeah. So then these witches, they get magically whisked away to the future, which is the 80s in California. Here's my question. How, if you are moving within through time, usually you end up in the same spot that you started just later on in time. But somehow the tornado brought the witches to California. Any theories regarding that, Carly?
California is just where it all happens.
California's where it all happens.
Where the magic happens.
Okay.
Duh. Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know how that happens, but we'll just go with it. It's a very strong tornado wind.
Oh, I know. Pick me.
Okay, yes, Carly. What's your theory?
I remembered. I had a flash. I had a vision. because of the guy with the scorpion ring at the very beginning of the movie, right? Yeah, that's where the warlock transfigures to when he disappears. He, flies into their house.
Wait. So the scorpion ring was actually important?
That's the only reason. That's the only thing that I can think of.
He's going to the book, which is also in that guy's house. Because this guy is gay. So he, therefore, must collect copious amounts of antiques. Because it's the 80s, and that's how people's minds work. Speaking of being gay in the 80s, can we please talk about this police scene? Which is,
he's not a queer. Isn't that what she says? He's gay. He's not a queer. Was there a distinction?
This is the most upsetting scene. And the only way I know how to react to it is by laughter, because it's so uncomfortable. So I'm laughing. Not because I'm accepting of these beliefs, but because it's so insane to me. Okay. So
I'm pretty sure I did a double take when, like,
it's crazy. Blatant.
What did you say? What did she say?
It's not even like a swallowed homophobic conversation. It is just outright homophobic. So,
yeah.
The woman who found out her roommate, who is gay, died. The cop is interviewing her, asking her questions about the guy that died. And he's like, oh, so does he spend a lot of time at parks? And she said, he didn't dick little boys in bathroom walls, if that's what you're asking. And then he said, but you said he was gay. What the fuck?
I mean,
I rewound it and played that like three times in a row because I literally could not believe that.
I know, it was so weird. But I mean, I guess we weren't really aware of what was going on when we were, when it was, what is this, 1989?
It's 89. Come on.
There was that stigma. Yeah, the 80s and 90s was that stigma about gay people.
That's really insane, though. That's like legit. Like, I remember 1989.
I don't. Well, I couldn't tell you. I watched Rainbow Bright.
I was young, but I remember things. I remember the early 90s. I remember learning about gay people. I do not ever remember learning about this or thinking that anything like this could have been remotely true. But I guess I was raised by good, decent human beings. oh my God. So then she goes on to say that he's not queer, he's gay. So that,
yeah, he's gay, he's not a queer. I believe were her exact words.
Yeah, I'm not really sure I understand that method of thinking, but it's very reminiscent of the time, I suppose, and I was very uncomfortable with that scene, watched it several times, and still could not quite make heads or tails of it. So There is that.
It was weird.
Yes, very weird. Okay, so then this this warlock who makes his way to quote-unquote 80s present day, his first murder scene when he murders the roommate is fantastic.
Agreed. He, like, gets in there and bites his tongue off.
He bites his tongue off and spits it into a frying pan. It's pretty sweet.
I love how he just, like, the poor guy, who just seems like the nicest guy in the world, he's like, you know, this is my ring, like, I'd let you try it on, but my knuckle, I broke it, and now I can't get it off. Ha ha ha, how funny is that? Hatchet comes out.
Hatchet.
Slices off.
Off your finger.
He's got amazing aim.
He has great aim.
He didn't touch any of the other fingers.
I mean, he's a warlock, so.
That's true. Accurate.
But yeah. So here's a question. So we have the warlock who comes in, and he also is followed by Redfern, who is trying to capture the warlock, and he's the one that's trying to burn him over a basket of live kittens. Neither one of them seem very perplexed by technology. Like, they are slightly, but not in a way that I would think they would if I came from 1691 and there's cars and phones.
Yeah.
And print.
Like when Redfern goes up to her and he's like, "Where's your well?" And she's like, "What?" He's like, "Your well, where you draw your water from." And then she just turns on a sink and he's just like, "Okay."
He's very accepting of it.
A little less.
Yeah. He's very accepting of it.
I need to fill my vial.
Where he draws the line is airplanes, though. That's where he draws the line of technology.
Literally, my only note on this movie is, it's amazing what you could bring on a plane back in the day.
I know, right? That weather vane.
Yeah. I was like, that's impressive.
That giant iron weather vane.
And then she's like, "Can I take that for you?
Yeah.
Please let me store this. Big metal weapon."
It's like cast iron.
Pointy as fuck. That's so great.
Oh my god. We are jumping around a lot, but that doesn't matter. We always do. Also, Julian Sands, our aka our warlock, has a killer ponytail. Does not look evil to me at all, and I don't know if it's because he's like, he doesn't look mean, does he? Like, I feel like he should have been meaner. Or looked angrier or something.
He definitely doesn't look mean, but at the same time, he did remind me a lot of Draco Malfoy's father from Harry Potter. So okay. I was like, okay, he can be evil. I get it.
I mean, it's the white hair, right?
Yes.
It's like so blonde that it's white.
Yeah.
Because I kind of wanted him to be a little bit more menacing looking, but I guess his actions were menacing enough. He says very little throughout this film. I feel like he has like three lines.
Can I tell you how I feel like I would have loved this movie even more than I already love this movie had they not deleted this two amazing scenes in particular that I wish they would have kept in there? And that's, one of them is early in the movie where we're going to talk about when he goes to the lady to like talk to the guy whose name I don't remember. Apparently, the chick was supposed to, like, rip open her blouse to reveal the eyes of Satan, which were her nipples.
Yeah, so,
I think would have been hilarious. For me.
I really would have been very confused about that, but yeah, I don't think it would have hurt the film to have that.
I think it would have been like, what? Amazing.
Let's look at this witch who is obviously a fake spiritualist.
She's like having an orgasm trying to like will this presence into her body.
Well, you know, all evil spirits have eyeball nipples. It's actually something that a lot of people don't know about, but it's true.
It would have been so realistic.
Yeah.
Nipple eyes.
And by the way, those eyeballs that he takes out of her eyes and uses as a compass do not look like they were her eyes at all. But
and
I love
them.
And
we never
so
see them
much.
Again, right? Like, that
he
was it.
He pulls them out at the end again. Yeah. I think he uses them like twice, but probably should have used them more, but it's fine.
Yeah.
I love it. I love this movie so much. It's so weird. So,
it's
so weird.
So great. Oh,
So then the warlock talks to this little boy. Do you know who that little boy is, Carly?
Adorable.
It's JT from Step by Step.
No way.
Yes, way. I had to look it up because I'm like, that kid looks so familiar.
He did. I was like, he's like extra adorable. And then I like looked, and then as I was looking it up, it was like, he gets ripped apart. And it was a deleted scene. And that was number two that I was like, I wish that they would have left it in there. But I guess it makes sense that they didn't.
Yeah. He's like, he's Holy Mullet, Heavenly JT from Step by Step. I loved it. I was so excited about that.
That's phenomenal.
It's like, JT. Okay. Let's see. What else do I have? I have a lot of notes on this one. Okay. So when Cassandra gets the curse on her, where she ages 20 years every day, I was confused when she was supposed to be 40 because she did not look 40.
No.
40-year-olds do not look like that. And it turns out on the day of shooting, the actress decided she didn't want to wear the prosthetics for her transformation, for either her 40-year-old transformation or her 60-year-old transformation. And that's kind of shitty. Why would you do that?
Yeah, apparently she was really difficult to work with and like caused so many headaches for their poor makeup man.
Yeah, that sucks. I mean, and she kind of, like, the film, I don't want to say the film suffered, because it totally didn't, whatever, but I was confused by that. It's like, what, she has long gray hair? When you're 40, you suddenly have long gray hair? Because, no, not everyone. And also,
yeah.
I don't know, like, she didn't even have any wrinkles. They just kind of, like, put bags under her eyes and called it a day. Where, I don't know. She just didn't want to look ugly, I guess. But it was also kind of frustrating that that didn't last longer. I kind of wished that she had to turn 80, you know? Because 60's still not that old. She was acting way old at 60.
But she was. She definitely was.
Although I guess if you're going from being 20 to being 60, you're going to feel it pretty much.
Yeah. Older. I've never wanted someone to, like, when she was, like, running after the train, I was like, come on, girl, you could do it.
I know. I did like that scene a lot. I liked the nail in the foot thing and the...
Me too, a lot.
There was some really cool, like, witchy stuff that you don't see in movies very often, but kind of still goes along with what you see with witch stuff, but just, like, more so. Like, putting nails in someone's footprints makes the nails go in their feet. Like, that's some, like, crazy voodoo shit. And then there was also you know, having her having to get her bracelet back because he took something of hers. Like, that's a common, like, witch horror movie trope, but probably also true to, like, witchcraft in itself.
I really liked also, like, pulling in of the, oh, what was he? Not Mormon.
Oh, the Mennonite?
Yeah.
I liked that,
I was like,
too.
I know it's an M, but, like, I really liked that it was like, oh, he recognized this symbol that, like, this stranger had, and, like...
Yeah, although it's pretty, like, coincidental that they just happened to drive by this barn that just happened to have this symbol that just happened to have the second part of the book. I mean, that seems a little too happenstance for my liking. But
the whole movie's kind of that way, because they're both, like, on each other's trail the whole time, so I was like, I'm gonna let it go.
Yeah, I totally could let it go, but I was just also like, well, that seems a little, like, too much, but whatever.
I'm happy that he was there, though.
Yeah, I liked the Mennonite guy.
Me too. Poor guy got his eyeballs ripped out.
That sucks. I didn't know how to feel about the pennies in the mouth thing, where you have to put pennies in your mouth so that the witch can't curse you or something. So they're all just walking around with these pennies hanging out of their mouth, like, talking. And I'm just like, this seems odd. We couldn't have picked something else, but okay. Also, how does Redfern know what pennies are?
Because pennies date all the way back until before time.
I don't think that's true. Also,
fun facts on the Final Girls.
How does the warlock have earrings?
He does. He's got beautiful diamond earrings, and I totally thought about that when he was in the church. I was like, look at those sparklers.
You can't have earrings.
Look at those sparklers.
Okay, so earrings were in the world at this time, but they were mostly in, like, Asia. Okay, it wasn't like a Western thing. It didn't become a Western thing till the 1900s.
Maybe warlocks are ahead of their time.
Maybe. Maybe. Where did he get that diamond from is what I really want to know. How did he have someone, he had someone make him a very fancy diamond earring in 1691? Is that what you're posing?
Or he stole them from Cassandra with a K.
If he stole them from Cassandra with a K, he would have had to pierce his own ear. I guess he's a warlock.
He could have just magicked them in.
I mean, that's a deleted scene I would have liked to see. Ooh, I like this earring. Boom, I have an earring. But then how did he even know it was for your ears? See, this has a lot of holes. This
you call them thing. Holes. I just call them magic.
Okay. Fair enough. Okay, what else have I got? I was confused about the plane scene. I was confused that there were stairs on the plane because I don't feel like that really happens. I've seen it in movies, never in real life. Don't like stairs on a plane.
Like stairs. Oh. Double-decker planes have stairs.
There's a legit staircase on the plane, which I guess is fine. If you're flying from California to Massachusetts, it would be a bigger plane. But
I mean, I feel like that's more like for fancy, like expensive international flights now, but maybe that was a thing in the 80s.
Well, you know what? I feel like maybe if I'd ever actually been on a plane with a staircase, I would feel better about it. So really, this is a personal issue I can disregard for now. So the warlock is in the cabin underneath the plane, which it's supposed to be freezing, right? Usually it's very cold under there.
Yes.
Okay. He does not look cold, but
he probably isn't because he has magic surrounding
him. So he burns a bag. He has a bag. He like lights it on fire with his mind and then takes out some kind of white goop and eats it. Theories to what that white goop is, Carly.
I got nothing.
Come on. Think on your feet. Marshmallow is what I thought of. But I'm confused. I'm confused to why you would choose marshmallow, but I guess marshmallow's delicious, and maybe he just learned about marshmallow.
It's a good question. I don't know what that was.
It was weird, and they did not need to add it, but they kept it in there for some reason. Weird white wizard food. It was very gooey and looked disgusting.
Do you think it could be like the cream, like the old man was like pouring the cream in and it was like really thick and like whatever?
I just threw up in my mouth.
He was eating the cream for sustenance.
Gross.
Sustenance.
I mean, if you're a witch and you can make any food appear in front of you, like maybe a turkey leg or something, like I feel like that would be something in 1691 they might eat. Like you could literally make anything. You're a warlock. Why is it white goop? It looks gross. Just saying.
Got nothing.
All right, moving on. So I know that Tommy B wanted us to watch this because of The Witch, the movie The Witch. He started recommending this around the time we watched that movie. And so we're supposed to think about parallels between this movie and The Witch, but I'm having a hard time doing that. Now, I can see Julian Sands as Black Phillip, perhaps. You know, I could kind of picture him at the end being like a Black Phillip-y type character. But I find way stronger parallels between this movie and Hocus Pocus than I do between this movie and The Witch.
I do also, but I mean, I guess I can understand with like the folklore and the connection of like old world remedies or what people may have thought about witches and warlocks and things.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I immediately think of any direct parallels between the witch and warlock, but I'd be really curious to know what his insight would be.
Yeah, Tommy, if you want to let us know your thoughts and parallels between this and the witch, I see this as basically the same thing as Hocus Pocus, minus the three funny witches. I think a lot of the scenes end up in the ending at the cemetery and the hallowed ground and the books and the, you know, it's very reminiscent. They go on a journey and they catch up with each other and they have to fight each other. It's very Hocus Pocus.
There's children that they scare.
Yeah.
And they try to kill, well, the witches try to kill. No, I guess they kill Emily. Yeah. So yeah, they kill children.
They do.
For their own personal gain.
I'm going with Hocus Pocus. And the whole time I was thinking Hocus Pocus, and I'm going to go with Hocus Pocus.
I like it.
And then at the end, she buries the grimoire in the shallowest hole I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, but it's in salt, so it doesn't even matter.
I guess. But
ooh, salt. Another parallel to Hocus Pocus.
I know, that's true. Definitely Hocus Pocus. I'm going with Hocus Pocus on this one, Tommy B.
Me too. Sorry, bud.
Sorry, bud. Please feel free to write back.
Enlighten us.
Give us your parallels there. Okay. Are we done?
Yeah.
Let's move on.
We liked this a lot.
We like this one. Thank you, Tommy.
I was let down that they couldn't be in love forever.
I wasn't. I really didn't need that at the end at all. I don't know why that was even thrown in.
Because they were... Well, he was in love with her.
He was not in love with her.
I know, I meant she was in love with him.
Yes, I could see that.
But it didn't really seem like he was there. He was on a mission.
Yeah.
And it didn't even seem like he really looked at her that way until that scene where he, like, disappeared into his tornado.
Yeah, which I love the tornadoes, by the way. Again, the graphics in this movie just blew me away.
Flawless.
So good. Okay, moving on to Silver Bullet, which was requested by listener Ryan S. Thank you, Ryan S. I love this movie, and I love any excuse to talk about it. It's been a really long time since I've seen this. You've seen Silver Bullet before this, right, Carly?
Yeah, but again... Same thing. It's been a really long time. I, like, totally even forgot that, like, Gary Busey was a huge thing in this.
How can you forget about Gary Busey? I mean, he's Gary Busey.
And I was super excited that Megan Follows was in this because I don't feel like I've seen her in anything except for Anne of Green Gables.
I don't think I know who she is because I've never seen Anne of Green Gables. Let me intro the movie. So, Silver Bullets from 1985, directed by Daniel Attias. It's his only movie. This is his only directorial movie. But he's done a lot of TV, including episodes of Buffy, original 90210, Party of Five, 6 Feet Under, and more recently, shows like The Killing and Homeland.
I love The Killing so much.
Oh, I know. I love the first two seasons of The Killing. Also, some episodes of Always Sunny in Philadelphia, which is a favorite of mine. So that's interesting that this was his only movie that he directed, but he's done so much, like, great television. So it's maybe he just prefers TV, and that's okay. It's kind of strange that this is his only one, but okay.
God, he's really done so much. I'm scrolling through his IMDb, and it's
it's insane.
It's crazy. Insane.
It is. It's a lot. Like, any good show you like, he's probably done an episode of it. So... Stephen King, this is a Stephen King novel, or based on a Stephen King novel, and also Stephen King wrote the screenplay, and it's starring Gary Busey, as we said, Everett McGill, and Corey Haim, which R.I.P. Corey Haim. I forgot that he passed in 2010. And also Megan Follows, as you said.
Yay!
Corey Haim, you know, like, you know, and when I was watching this, I was just like, ugh. One of my other favorite Corey Haim movies is... The Lost Boys. And so I miss Corey Haim.
I thought about that too. That's like honestly the first thing that I thought about because I was like, oh, he's a baby.
Yeah, he's like little
he's
in this one.
He's a baby and he's adorable and he looks so like wholesome and like.
He is.
It's just so cute.
He really is perfectly cast in this role. I thought Megan Follows was kind of. But I also think Gary Busey was kind of. And Everett McGill was also kind of. But Corey Haim. Fantastic. The acting in this movie is not the best, but that's okay. Also, the dialogue in this movie is a little bit...
Ugh. Yes. Ugh. Yes.
But it is a good story, and it's fun to watch, and it holds up as well as you could expect.
I didn't mind any of the negatives that you just spoke about. I don't know. I think that they're super fun, and like, I don't know.
No, I don't mean it like I couldn't watch it because of it.
Right.
If we're going to talk about acting, we should probably mention it's not fantastic. But I also think that part of it is due to some of the cheesy dialogue, which sometimes happens in Stephen King movies. Well, I mean, and think about it. Like, think about the dialogue in It. Like, it's not good. It's not. No. It's just not. It's one thing to read these things. It's another thing to hear them, I feel like. And sometimes in Stephen King movies, it's a little bit complicated. I'm sure a lot of people disagree with me on that.
No, but I think so, too. And I think that, like, that's one of the huge things about watching, you know, or, like, having during filming is, like, if something feels unnatural and you can't really say it to try to, like, make it sound more natural. But I know that some script writers are really intense with, like, needing their words to be exact. So who knows?
So Stephen King did a lot of, obviously wrote a lot of stories that are put into movies. And I know he, like, wrote and directed Maximum Overdrive. But I'm pretty sure this is his only film in which he wrote the screenplay.
I think you are correct.
And I think it kind of shows, like, especially at the end, and when Megan has her weird ending. And it is weird how she is, or Jane, I'm sorry, Jane is randomly inserted as telling the story, because it doesn't feel like she's a true narrator. It comes in randomly and it's not constant. So it kind of takes me out of it when they do have her narrating something, because I think it happens like two, maybe three times.
Yeah, I was actually really confused by that, mostly at the end when I was finished watching it and all of a sudden she comes in and she does the outro. And I was like, but why? Why is she telling me this story?
And it was weird. She's like, I couldn't always tell him that I loved him, but now I can.
Yeah.
Or something like that, which is just cheesy and unneeded. And I don't need to know what she's thinking or feeling, because they do a good job of it in the beginning, but it doesn't carry through the film. So why bother doing it? Which is fine, but, you know, it's just something that kind of sticks out like a sore thumb.
Yeah.
It doesn't make the film really worse. It's just, like, kind of takes you out of it when it happens,
right?
Because it's not consistent and it seems out of nowhere. Like, why do we care what she's thinking? She's not even really a main character. She's in the beginning pretty strong and she's at the end pretty strong, but in the middle, she's barely there. So, anyway, this movie's fantastic, nonetheless, and it's mostly because of nostalgia. I think this is probably one of the first movies as a kid I remember watching as a horror film. My brother liked it, and my cousins liked it a lot. I remember being at my grandparents' house and people putting on, and my cousins always wanting to put on Silver Bullet. So I have memories of it. It's fun to go back and rewatch it, and yeah. Gary Busey's ridiculous in this movie.
I was like, oh my god! He's so crazy!
Yeah. I will say that there is some cool werewolf stuff in this movie. The scratching, I think, is something that you don't see a lot in werewolf movies. Usually in werewolf movies, it gets gory because they'll be biting someone or attacking someone, but you rarely see close-ups of, like, the claws scratching them, which this movie has quite a bit of that, and it's kind of
I really appreciated that.
I did too. It was gruesome and fun and different, because you see a lot of biting, not a lot of scratching. Seems simple, but still highly effective. This is also a movie that kids can watch. I mean, that's the most gruesome thing in the whole movie. For the most part, this isn't. It's sure. I'm sure it's scary for kids, but it's not. You know, once you hit the age of like 10, it's probably fine, right?
Yeah. I think. No, it's like a good movie for like a good starter horror movie, I guess.
Yeah, I would think especially for little boys. Like little boys would probably really love this movie.
Yes.
The Silver Bullet machine.
The wheelchair.
It's kind of like a dirt bike wheelchair.
Yeah.
It's awesome. It's so awesome
it's
and very
so
cool.
Gary Busey's really is. Character made that look super sweet.
Yeah, Gary. So there also is a part where Gary Busey is just saying a laundry list of offensive things. I have a note here.
I may have blacked it out. Please.
Well, he's drinking while hanging out with Corey Haim.
Oh, when they're playing the checkers or something?
Yeah. He starts off by saying, like, you don't stand Chinaman's chance or something like that. And then I started writing that down. And then he said, like, 20 other offensive things. And I didn't get to write them all down because that's how quick-handed he is with the offensive racial slurs. So congratulations, Gary Busey. Uncle Red, by the way.
Uncle Red.
Uncle Red. Which, if you're a woman, Uncle Red has, like, its own thing. Don't you, like, remember being a kid and being like, oh, Aunt Flo and Uncle Red coming to visit this weekend?
I don't remember Uncle Red. I remember Aunt Flo.
Oh, I used to say Aunt Flo and Uncle Red. No, maybe that was just me.
I remember Surfing the Crimson Wave from Clueless. Oh, yeah.
Well, that's from Clueless, and that's amazing. I love that one also. I wrote down, I thought it was interesting that the werewolf didn't need a full moon. They did talk about it, though, so I immediately think it's okay if you discuss it.
I really actually appreciated it. Like, he can transform at any time, and he's more himself when it's not. But, like, once the full moon happens, all of him disappears.
Yeah, I did like that explanation. I don't necessarily buy it because I like the full moon thing, but it also makes a werewolf movie go by a lot faster, and it lets it have more stuff happen if you kind of blur the lines there a little bit in rules for werewolves, because that way you don't have to wait a month for something else to happen. You know, it's happening constantly throughout the movie. But here's some things that happen once a month. So Gary Busey comes to visit once a month, says mom, and his name is Uncle Red. Coincidence? I think not. Basically, what I'm hinting towards is Gary Busey is like a menstrual cycle. No.
That one doesn't work. I totally did not even like.
His name is Uncle Red and he comes once a month.
Think about that.
How else
that.
Am I supposed to read that?
It's amazing.
Thank you.
What actually threw me for a loop was more so that, like, because when we first meet Uncle Red and they're, like, playing...
I can't even hear you say Uncle Red without laughing.
When we first meet Gary Busey and he's...
Thank you.
He's, you know, whatever, like, drinking heavily. Like, you get the sense that his sister isn't really a huge fan and doesn't want him around their children. So, like, fast forward to when all of a sudden he's, like, staying with them. I found it, like, I mean, forget the werewolf. I was like, that's super unrealistic. That mom is totally now like, oh, yeah, stay with my kids. See you later.
Well, he gave her a vacation with her boyfriend.
I understand that. But still, like, those are your children. And one of them is in a wheelchair and, like, can't, like, necessarily, like, I don't know.
Let's think of it this way. So the women in the movie don't like Uncle Red. Because he comes around once a month and makes everyone miserable. I'm just saying. I mean, come on. I'm not making this up.
I understand. He's like a period. But seriously, leave your two children?
Yes. Because if I want to go on vacation with my hot boyfriend, I don't give a shit. It's also the 80s.
Fair enough.
People don't care about their kids then.
Well, yeah, that's true. Not that they don't care about them, but they definitely are able...
They're not crazy like they are now about, like, where is my kid every 5 seconds?
Totally.
They can disappear and it's fine, you know? Okay. Enough about period talk. Sorry. I just can't. The parallels just keep coming.
She keeps remembering.
Gary Busey is so much like my menstrual cycle. Let me count the ways. He's very bloated.
Oh, God.
He has that big belly.
He has...
I mean, there are times when I feel like he looks. I'm just saying.
I can't.
I'm sorry. I will let it go.
I can't.
I'm sorry. He has a big belly in this movie. I'm just saying. Okay. Let's see. What else we got?
I just want to know how he got cast in things.
I don't know. Did you ever go back and rewatch, like, Rookie of the Year?
I fucking love, like, that movie so
he's
much.
He's like a heartthrob in that movie. How is that real?
It blows my mind because it's like you look at him now and you can see, like, how, you know, he's lost. He's definitely, like, lost his mind a little bit. But then, like, I watch a movie like this and I'm like, I see the distinction for sure, but, like, that's the same guy. How is this, like, a thing?
I mean,
he's even got the same cap teeth.
Yeah. And those teeth, man, they are intense. They are intense.
I'm proud of Gary Busey for making it work.
Do you remember, like, how does he play a heartthrob? Are there other movies where he plays a heartthrob? I need to know.
I honestly could not tell you.
So Okay. So we have a preacher who is a religious nut job that wants people to die if they're sinners, I guess. So he kind of uses his werewolfism as a way to keep people from sinning, even though it's not. I don't know. It's fine.
I was kind of really confused if, like, was he just always the werewolf?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a little bit weird. It's a little bit iffy, but I guess if it's a giant novel and we're trying to cut it down to a movie, that shit's gonna happen. I loved that Corey Haim was cutting out letters serial killer wise and like writing out, I know who you are, I know what you are, why don't you kill yourself, and sending it to a preacher.
Oh, Corey Haim. Like, you're adorable.
That is the most hysterical way to put that I could think of. Why don't you just kill yourself? Okay. And Jane, when she is going incognito around to pick up cans and bottles and checking to see if anyone is missing an eye, I have never in my life thought anyone was so bad at being incognito than she is, because she's just staring at everyone. When she goes to the barbershop and unwraps that guy's head in a towel.
Oh my God, I was thinking the same thing. I was like, how is he not like, little girl, I'm having my facial. Get away from me. I would have been so pissed. This is my steam.
That guy was getting a facial, by the way.
He was getting his face steamed for his shave.
Yes.
But still, that towel's got menthol oils on it to open up his pores.
That's true. You're right. I'm sorry. It's just funny. Like, she's just like unwrapping his towel and like, hey, you have any bottles? Right. Like, he's getting a fucking face steam right now. He doesn't have any bottles. He's for like, you.
Even if I did, you wouldn't be getting them right now.
Yeah. It's just very weird. And then when she goes to mail the letters for Corey Haim, there's a sign right behind her for a storefront, and it says Sick Room Needs. That's the name of the store. Sick Room Needs. I made a note of it, because what the fuck does that mean?
No idea. You're way more observant than I.
Okay. I was just like, is it like a hospital store or like a medical store? It just seems like a very weird name for this kind of store. But well, maybe that's like a normal store in the 80s. I don't know. I don't know things.
I don't know these things.
I also liked how the preacher was totally trying to knock him into the water off the bridge. This is insane. This is an insane chase scene.
It really was. And it, like, holy cow.
Yeah.
That whole scene was just unreal.
It's just, like, broad daylight and he's, like, hitting a child off a bridge with his car. Like a handicapped child,
yeah.
Mind you.
Yeah.
No problems there. Yikes. Okay. And then maybe we should talk about the werewolf at the end, which is our first full body werewolf shots.
The makeup in this movie was really fun. It wasn't the best, obviously. No. We've seen really solid werewolf makeup.
I have on a this hard show. Time at the end with the werewolf standing on two legs like he's human. Is he supposed to be more like a wolf man? It just looked so silly to me. At the very end only. I think in the rest of the movie it was fine.
I just think it was more that they might not have maybe had the budget.
I did like how Gary Busey did his own stunts at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
Which they used. Yeah, he ran and jumped on an air-compressed catapult, which launched him through the air into various pieces of furniture.
Sounds safe.
I really want the videos of
Sounds
this.
So safe.
I want all the behind the scenes videos of this happening.
Yeah, where are those? Can Could we buy those? Can we get those on? If I buy this movie on DVD, am I guaranteed these deleted scenes?
Just jumping on air compressed catapult, launching him into breakaway furniture. Just sounds so amazing to me. Oh, I love it so much. Oh, I'm picturing it, and it's my favorite thing ever. I'm just picturing it. It's the best.
So good.
Oh, man. Okay. I liked this one a lot, too.
Me, too. I watched it after I watched the Oscars, and I had, like, a really bad migraine, and I still, like, enjoyed it so much.
Yeah, it's really fun watch. Both of these movies are really fun watches. Are they seriously amazing movies? No, not really, but they're enjoyable and really fun. And I feel like they're both pretty good, like, hanging out with your friends drinking movies, you know?
Absolutely. Super. Like, just fun.
Yeah.
Good time. I really enjoyed both of these movies a whole lot, and I really appreciate the suggestion.
Yeah, thank you for your suggestions so far, guys. We are really excited about the month of March and to have all of our listener requests movies. I'm super stoked about it. Okay, and we have an Ask Final Girls question. We're starting this new segment for this month only, I think, unless people start having a lot of questions, which it doesn't seem like they do. I've been asking. But, you know, if you're listening to this and you'd like to send in a question to Ask Final Girls, send an email to us, finalgirlshorrorcast@gmail.com, and we will try to get back to you on that. This question, again, is from Tommy B., who is the guy who got us to watch Warlock. His question is, now that you've finished watching Buffy and Gilmore Girls, how about watching Veronica Mars?
I love Veronica Mars.
Carly loves Veronica Mars. I've never seen Veronica Mars.
We should watch
it. I'm down to watch it. I could check it out. Is it streaming? I'll have to check.
I don't know.
I'll check and see if it's streaming, Tommy. I'll check it out.
I didn't watch the new one. They like the movie that came out, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Let me know if you find it, because we should definitely watch that. I'm down.
I'm down. I'm down to check it out. I'm always down to check out new TV shows. All right. Thanks for the question.
Thank you.
Maybe we'll get more and do more of those.
Who knows?
So let's move on to what's going on with us. We saw Get Out.
Yeah, we did.
Oh, my God. It's so good. There's so much hype around this movie, and I hate that usually, because usually it means I'm going to be sad. This movie, it doesn't matter how much hype there is. It's worth it. It's so good.
I was, like, watching it, and I kind of think, like, something happened, and I kind of, like, it clicked, like, what might be going on, and I still was so into it. Like, I was never even bored. Like, I wanted to keep going. Like, I was really into this movie the whole time. I loved it.
Yeah, there's some, like, reveal parts, but I think you can kind of figure out what's happening as the movie goes. There's not, like, a big aha moment. There's like little aha moments. There's not one big one. So
totally.
you're kind of learning along with the main character, which I appreciate. I appreciate that. It doesn't feel like a twist. It just feels like you're exploring what's happening along with our main character. It's just really well done. I'm so excited to see more,
from Jordan Peele.
Jordan Peele.
Yeah.
He's awesome, and yeah.
I love Key and Peele. I was really excited to hear that he had written this. When we first saw this trailer, I was like, is that the same guy? Like, what?
And the acting is fantastic.
Oh, superb. And I'm not even a huge Allison William fan. She is my least favorite character on Girls, but she was great in this movie.
I liked her in, like, 40-Year-Old Virgin. That's, like, all I could think of.
No, that's Catherine Keener. Really.
Oh, it's a different person, for real?
Yeah, Allison Williams is the... No, it's the same person, but Catherine Keener is the mom. Allison Williams played the girlfriend.
Sorry. Yes. Oh, yeah, she was great.
And then...
I thought they were all great.
The dad...
Bradley Whitford is...
The dad's a dude from Cabin in the Woods, and I was so excited.
Yes. And I always just remember him from Billy Madison, but yeah, that also.
All I could think of was Tequila is my lady.
Oh, all I can think of are, like, terrible Billy Madison quotes. I won't bother you guys with that.
Why? Billy Madison's amazing.
It's not, but that's okay.
What? That's another episode, I guess. Right.
I mean, have you rewatched that movie recently? It does not hold up.
I haven't, but I feel like it's so special
to memory. The memory of that movie, I agree, is amazing. Going back and watching it, unfortunately, I do not feel the same way. Although there are some nostalgic moments I appreciate.
I feel like I just don't know. We'll have to agree to disagree on that one.
Super props to Daniel Kaluuya, who's amazing in this. And I have loved him ever since I saw him in Black Mirror. Mm-hmm. And that's my favorite Black Mirror episode, the ones he's in. And I just love him. He's fantastic and great in this. And he's supposed to be Black Panther in the upcoming comic book movie.
Amazing, because that's so great. I also just watched him in Sicario, and he was great in Sicario. So he's just like a phenomenal. He's phenomenal. He's amazing.
Yeah, he's a British actor, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's fantastic. His American accent, fucking perfect. I never went, like, I knew he was British, and I totally forgot he was British when I was watching this. Perfect. Great. Great, great acting. And great story. Great directing. I'm just all around stoked and can't wait to see more from Jordan Peele. Way to go, Jordan Peele.
Hit it out of the park.
Ow, ow. Okay. Anything else you want to mention before we close out?
No. Everything is awesome.
Okay. So that's it, I guess, for now. I want to thank Troy from Cape Bastard for our song Sequencing the Drone, and Jason Link for our amazing logo. Please visit FinalGirlsHorrorCast.com for more information on them or to listen to our episodes. All of them are on there. We still have a lot of stickers to give away, so if you're interested in getting some stickers, all you have to do is share our podcast on social media or rate and review us on iTunes, then send us an email to FinalGirlsHorrorCast@gmail.com, and we'll send some directly to you.
Final Girls Horrorcast is proud to be a part of the Phantom Podcast Network. We are available on downrightcreepy.com, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, TunedIn, and pretty much anywhere else you can stream a podcast. We are also very active on social media, so please interact with us. Find us on Twitter at FinalGirlsHC and Instagram and Facebook. Just search for Final Girls Horrorcast.
Okay, guys, that's it for today. Stay tuned after the music if you want to hear us give spoilers for Get Out. Otherwise, tune in next week when we dive into our second installment of Listener Request Month with Landmine Goes Click, available on Amazon Prime, Hulu, and Yahoo. Apparently, things are stream on Yahoo now.
Crazy.
I know. And The Devil's Rejects on Amazon Prime and Hulu.
This is going to be Amy's favorite episode that she ever does in our entire career. So you should probably listen to it.
If you like hearing me scream a lot and rant and rave, I highly recommend next week's episode.
Which I do. Pour a glass of wine or beer or whatever and tune in. Go on this journey
more
with
relaxing
us.
Than relaxing with a nice glass of wine and listening to me scream in your ear for an hour.
I'm really excited about it.
I am not. But thanks to the listeners for hating me so much. See, this is how I know what our listeners really think of me.
They're like, what is Amy's least favorite thing?
This is why we call you guys listeners and not fans. So thank you for that. Okay, until next week, I'm Amy.
And I'm Carly.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Dun, 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 dun.
You don't have to do the music. I can just cut it in. I'm really good at editing.
You are.
Okay. So let's jump into Get Out. We'll do some spoilers. Not a lot, though, because we're already over an hour and I'm tired.
No, it's totally cool. But holy cow, I loved this movie so much. I loved the mixture of comedy and horror. Not even horror, because it wasn't, like, particularly, like, scary.
It wasn't. No.
But it
was really creepy.
Yeah.
Kind of Stepford Wives-y. Mm-hmm. But more so.
And seriously, like, the second when, like, the dad was showing him around when they first got there, and mm-hmm. he was like, oh, like, I know what you must be thinking. I know that this looks really bad, but we hired so-and-so who's the kitchen and so-and-so who's the gardener to take care of my parents. And all of a sudden I was like, skeleton key. I was like, holy shit, this is the skeleton key. I was like, this is going to be like whatever. And that's when it like in my brain clicked that could be like what's going on, especially because I know like how weird everybody's acting.
Yeah.
But I was never bored the entire time. I was just like super into it the whole time.
Yeah, it was trippy. And it's just phenomenal. It's kind of great because it takes all these horror tropes and just kind of like melds them into something completely new. And I really loved it. I loved the way he did it. And there's so much to talk about. After I saw this movie, my husband and I went and saw it. And afterwards, we went out to eat and we just talked about the movie. Like, that never happens. You know, usually it's like, yeah, I liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't. We had like a full-on discussion about it. And it's great when a movie can do that. And also, the like, just like little things like the tea, like the whole tea thing. Like, I've never been so creeped out by tea in my whole life.
Oh my God, that like steady clicking noise is just so perfect.
It's pretty fucking flawless. Like, I can't think of anything that would have made this film better, and I'm stoked about it. And
me too. I definitely don't want to say too much about it because I'm hoping that, like, in a couple months it'll be streaming and we can, like, formally do an episode on it.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I don't want to say too much, but I just fucking yes.
Yeah.
It's just yes. All over the place, yes.
So good. So. I really want to go see it again.
I would love to see it again. And it's been a really long time since I've felt that way about a horror movie in the theater where I'm like, I gotta go again.
Totally.
Because there were so many aha moments I had, like towards the end where I'm like, oh, now that makes sense. Oh, now that makes sense. And I'd love to just kind of watch it all the way through and really pick up on even more of that because there's so many like little things like that.
Sex where and you shit.
Wouldn't even. Yeah.
So good.
I love the TSA thing. Like, that was hilarious.
So good.
When he's talking to the cops.
Yeah.
Hysterical. Because
we're pretty much trained to do the same exact thing.
Yeah.
Like.
I mean, even me more so, probably.
Because I pay attention to details. Yeah. So good. And that adorable dog. Oh, my God.
Oh. Yeah, doggy was cute. Yeah, there's just so much good stuff. And
the stapler guy. From Office Space was the blind art guy who wasn't excited about that.
Oh, yeah, I guess he was. I always picture him from News Radio. Like, that's where I remember him from. Yeah. I used to love that show.
I don't even remember that show, but I remember watching it, but I don't remember, like, the premise of it.
It was just, like, a News Radio show. It had, like, Joe Rogan and Andy Dick in it. It wasn't.
I remember like, Andy Dick. God, I don't remember Joe Rogan. That's crazy.
Yeah, Joe Rogan was on it, and so was what's his name from Kids in the Hall. Can't think of his name. Oh well, it doesn't matter. Because he's not in this movie, so I don't even know when we're talking about it. but anyway,
so good.
I guess we. Yeah. All right. I think we're done.
Awesome.
You just keep saying it. So good.
We liked it. The end.
Yeah. Check it out, guys. All right.
Bye.
Signing off.